Today's sermon, by the way, is called Compounded Fatherhood. Hey, Michael, if you could turn me up just a tad so I can hear myself a little bit better. As soon as the ushers are done with the offering, they're going to be passing around a bookmark, and that bookmark is for any male over 18 years of age. Whether you are dad or not, we would like you to have some. I'm sure we'll have some leftovers, so moms and dads that are here that say, hey, I'd love to go and give one to my dad or my relative. If we have some extras, they are no good after today, and we just, if you need an extra one, you can come see the ushers after we pass them all out. And as well, I think every man needs an extra payday, right? Is that right? So we just thought, as a church, you know, since we have millions in the bank, that we would give y'all all an extra payday. Isn't that cool? So yeah, payday. That big, but nonetheless, yeah. No, yeah. All right, yes. Payday. Man, here's your payday. All right. Yes. Go deposit that at the bank. See what happens. I have no clue. But and if we have any extras of those afterwards, you know, anybody can steal those. Pass out those bookmarks, and I will explain what that is in just a moment. Enjoy your payday. Anybody over 18, Mel? Grab a payday. You can eat it now if you want. I won't be offended. Just pick up your trash. So let me ask you a question. Have y'all ever heard the expression? Most of you have, but not maybe all. Have you ever heard, not so much the expression, but the question, a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days. What would you rather have? I will write you a check for $100,000 or I'll give you a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days. How many just wants me to write the $100,000 check? Just raise your hand. You want the $100,000 check? Okay, anybody else? Okay, Andrew wants a $100,000 check. Travis wants a $100 check. All right, well, let me tell you. Or a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days. Let me tell you, at the end of 5 days or at the end of 1 week, you get a total sum of $5.12. At the end of 20 days, it does increase quite a bit, but not nearly close to $100,000. It gets, and I'll tell you exactly the amount, it gets to the amount of $5,242.88. Are y'all ready for day 30? Day 30 ends a penny a day. And double it every day for 30 days, you end up with $5,368,709.12. Just a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days. Isn't that amazing? It's just a powerful principle. It's called compounded interest. Now, my message is called Compounded Fatherhood, and it is a whole lot like that. You have 18 years to invest in your children. You have 18 years to compound and instill love and respect and the values of godliness into your children. 18 years to father your child or your children. You can't stop at just 10, because at just 10 is really close to the teenage years, and the teenage years can be the hardest years. But those are the years your children will begin to soar. One penny is not worthless, but it doesn't have a whole lot of value. But when you add that penny over and over and you compound it, it arrives at $5 million. One act of kindness as a dad does not change a whole lot, but when you do it with consistency over time, it gives wonderful results. Those investments multiply based upon trust and consistency. Those bookmarks you have, I hope you put it in your Bible or some other book that you read all the time. I hope you put it somewhere, maybe on your fridge, so you can look at it often, and I hope you are reminded about your opportunity for compounded fatherhood. Those 6 points in there we will get to later on in this message. Father's Day is a little bit harder than Mother's Day. Due to broken homes, due to some kids don't have a father in the home, perhaps never even met that father. Fathers, if you have children that do not live with you, you can still compound your fatherhood. Highly encourage you to pay that child support. Highly encourage you to take every opportunity you can to invest in that child. It may not be ideal, but we can make every effort to sow into them. My message, I don't want it to come across harsh this morning, although I have some straightforward things I do want to say. I don't ever want to seem like I condemn or demean. That is not the point at all, but I do want to preach a very firm message on fatherhood. I read a statistic that 40% of children in America will be born outside of wedlock. 33% of children in the United States of America will never know their biological father. 33%. Now, that is terrible, but it is not as bad as the Caribbean. I spent the last 8 years in Belize. 80% of children will be born outside of wedlock. 50% of those will never know who their father was. These are frightening statistics. Without fathers, girls oftentimes prematurely find comfort in the arms of unhealthy relationships. The church must be the example of healthy fatherhood. Men who do not have children or men who do have children, it doesn't really matter. You have such a great opportunity, the spiritual father of other people. You have the opportunity to grab a hold of somebody who needs a father around them and begin to pour into them. You've heard me say probably 1,000 times, how do you eat an elephant? Y'all heard me say that? One bite at a time. How do you change the world? One child at a time. We can look at the masses, the hundreds, the thousands, but how do we change the world around us? It's one child at a time. It begins with the children in our home, and then we spiritual father other men, maybe adult men, maybe children, girls and boys. We pour into them and father them well and show them the way. You know the scripture, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. It's talking about the gospel, but it also includes the harvest. It also includes fatherhood. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. You literally have the opportunity to change a life for eternity. How do you change a life? Just a penny a day and double it every day. Consistency. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. You know this story well. It's the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal, I always wonder, what in the world does that mean? It means a person who spends money in a reckless and extravagant way. You know this story well. This father has 2 sons. Michael, I still am not hearing myself very good. Y'all may hear me fine, but I feel I'm straining my voice. He has 2 sons. One of his sons chooses to spend his inheritance right now. He goes out and parties with women, with booze, with partying. He probably bought himself a really nice suit. He went and bought himself the nicest car. He's got him a Tesla. He's looking cool. He's got his iWatch on. I mean, he is happy. Everybody that sees this young man says, this dude is cool. This dude is happening. This dude has it. Oh, the only problem is when the money rolls out and runs out, he starts starving. He starts feeding swine. He gets tired of feeding swine, and he said, man, my father's slaves are treated better than I'm being treated. I'm going to go back home. He's expecting to be treated as a servant. and his father takes him as a son. Luke chapter 15, verses 20. And it says, and he arose and came to his father. But him, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it upon him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and now is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, we know this is a word picture, a metaphor, a parable story of how much God loves his children. How much God's compassion upon his children when they come back home. But clearly in this story, you see a compounded relationship. You see trust and consistency that was built over time. The father gives his inheritance based upon a deep relationship with his son. But we know even in the best of homes, at times children can rebel. After all, Jesus had 12 disciples. One didn't only rebel, one sold him out to be killed. When the son came home, the father didn't treat him like a servant. He didn't rub that failure in his face. His father didn't say, yeah, come on, crawl down to me. I told you were going to fail. I told you were stupid. I told you were going to mess up. Now you're coming crawling back to me. That is absolutely the opposite of what the father did. He didn't treat him like a servant. He treated him as a son. The father saw him at a great distance. I see a hopeful father. That's who we want to be, right? Even if our children are making bad decisions, we want to look out and believe the best for them. I see an expecting father, even in the midst when his son was gone, to say, I'm expecting. I am looking with expectancy. That's called faith. I am waiting for my child to come home. A father who knew he had instilled godly principles. He understood the word of Proverbs 22:6 that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I instilled my child with these values. I sit at the edge of my field waiting for him to come home. And when I see him, I won't make him feel horrible. I won't let him crawl up to me. I will run to him. I will make the first step. I will kiss him. I will kill the fatted calf. I'll put a ring on his finger and says, you're not a servant. You are my child. You are my son. Could you imagine what the son must have been as he was going home? I mean, I don't know if it took 2 days or 3 days or 4 days to get home, but the whole way he's going home, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. Father, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just let me be a servant. Oh, that didn't sound right. Father, I'm a sinner. You know, he's walking like a dog with his tail between his legs. He's defeated. He knows he had messed up. He left town thinking, I'm going to go conquer the world. Big city lookout, because I'm coming. I got all the ideas. I'm going to make lots of money. Everybody's going to love me. Now he's crawling back home. And he says, oh, my father has every right to be mad at me. And then he sees his father embracing and loving. What a beautiful picture of fatherhood. This is how our Father God does for us. When we repent and come home, he embraces us. But this is also a message to earthly fathers, to compound our fatherhood. Now let me share with you a bad example of fatherhood. I'm going to show you a video in just a moment. This video may be a little awkward for some. It actually comes from, get of all places, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Proverbs probably the most powerful moment in television history that I've ever seen. I've watched this video probably 50 times, and every time it draws a tear in my eyes. Let me preface by saying Will Smith has just reconnected to his absentee father. He's prepared to spend time with his biological father. He is going to spend the weekend with him, and then his father tries to bail out on him before it even happens. Will Smith comes up on the scene and say, "Hey, Daddy, here we go. I'm so excited." He actually buys him a small gift, and the father begins to bail out on him in person. Let me also preface this by saying I read an article about this, and they said Will Smith had a script midway through this. He left script and just lived out the pain of his own journey. Now, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is a TV show, so it's not horrible. But it did have some words in it. They were minor words. Cedric being his wonderful tech guy that we have and that was able to edit it out. So when you hear the blank, they weren't horrible words, but they were words that I did not think were Sunday-friendly times. But I could not. I needed to show this video. And we'll unpack that. Would you watch it?
Sit down.
I ain't got time for no lecture.
I said sit down, Lou. You know, Will was doing just fine until you showed up. But now that you're back, you have responsibilities to him.
Look, we're still going to take the trip.
Oh, bull! Bull! Will is not a coat that you hang in the closet, then pick it up when you're ready to wear it. His life goes on. He's not supposed to be here for you. You're supposed to be here for him.
You get off my back! You think I want this? It just happened! Now, when Will was a baby, I was scared.
Cut the crap, all right? Cut it! Because I've been there. But I didn't run out on my family. I was there every day for them, because that's what a man does.
Fine, Philip. You win. You the man. You a better man than me. You happy? Now, you gonna tell Will or not?
I'm not gonna do your dirty work for you.
Fine. I'll call him from the road.
Yeah, then why don't you do that?
Yeah, I'll do that. Daddy-o! What's up? Will, I'm glad you're here. Some business came up I gotta handle. So we're gonna have to put our trip on hold. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Just for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm, I understand. Yeah.
Maybe a little longer.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Look, I'll call you next week and we'll iron out the details. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It was great seeing you, son.
You too, Lou.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Will.
You know what? Actually, this works out better for me. You know, the slimmies of summer come to class wearing next to nothing. You know what I'm
Will,
saying?
Will, it's all right to be angry.
Hey, why should I be mad? I'm saying, at least he said goodbye this time. I just wish I hadn't wasted my money buying this stupid present.
I'm sorry. If there was something that I
Hey, you know what? You ain't got to do nothing, Uncle Phil. Hey, you know, ain't like I'm still 5 years old, you know? Ain't like I'm going to be sitting up every night asking my mom, when's daddy coming home, you know? Who needs him? Hey, he wasn't there to teach me how to shoot my first basket, but I learned, didn't I? Hey, I got pretty good at it too, didn't I,
yeah,
Uncle Phil?
You did.
Got through my first day without him, right? Mm. I learned how to drive. I learned how to shave. I learned how to fight without him. I had 14 great birthdays without him. He never even sent me a card. To hell with him! I ain't need him then, and I don't need him now.
Will.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm gonna get through college without him. I'm gonna get a great job without him. I'm gonna marry me a beautiful honey, and I'm gonna have me a whole bunch of kids. I'm gonna be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as hell don't need him for that, because ain't a thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids. How come he don't want me, man?
That dad gave Will a penny of affection. There was no compounded fatherhood. There was no full investment. There was no consistent acts of love, respect, demonstration of any values. You know, Will could have explained this. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad was a drug addict, so I can explain that away. I can wrestle through that, but at the end of the day, for all that he knew with his mind that it was his dad's fault, at the end of the day, he used the words, "How come he doesn't love me?" Isn't it amazing how children internalize? What Will was dealing with was a lie from the enemy. He was worthy, but he still took it himself, and he blamed himself for his father's absence. Dads, could I add moms who play both roles? You may think your children don't want you in this season. Your voice in their life is still valuable. Compound your relationship with them on a daily basis. It's the daily investments. It's the compounded acts of fatherhood that count. For my family, every night before we go to bed, and let me say, some nights we are dead tired. We sit on the couch. Havia, come down. Hurry up with your shower. Turn off the TV. Erica, get in here. I am so tired. Whose turn is it to pray? Yes, pray, please. Get it over so we can all go to bed. But we gather together, and we pray about our day. And every person in that room seeks the Lord together. Just one penny compounded. Instilling godly values. Sometimes it's not perfect. Over the last 20 years, my family has probably missed Sunday morning church maybe 10 times. And probably 9 out of those 10 meant we were at convention and we were going to be in services every single day. Why do we believe the body of Christ is so important? Because there is a value that we want caught more than taught. We are just faithful to the body of Christ. Probably doesn't help that I'm the pastor too and I have to be here. The day before my son got married, I took him to indoor skydiving. We had talked about he loves his pistol and he loves to go shooting, so we had talked about going to the shooting range that you actually drive in a golf cart and you go beside cars, and in the cars pretend people pop up and you machine gun them. And so that sounded really cool for me and my son, you know? It sounded fun. And then Josh got to thinking and said, you know, I get really freaked out with people that don't know how to shoot guns around me because I'm afraid they're going to shoot me. So let's go to indoor skydiving. So we went to indoor skydiving and we had a blast together. Why did I do that on the day before he was to be married? Because it was just one more moment of compounded fatherhood. the nightly prayers that we do on a nightly basis. I have 18 years to instill godly principles into my children. I need to make every day count. That penny compounded for nearly 6,570 nights of praying with my kids instills something in them that is so valuable. So here's the question: what nuggets can we learn from the bad example in the video? And what nuggets can we learn from the prodigal story and a loving, gracious father? And before I get to those 6 points, John Maxwell has a quote that defines compounded fatherhood. He said, "Small disciplines repeated with consistency every day lead to great achievements gained slowly over time." Just being consistent at it every day. Doing it over and over. What does compounded fatherhood look like? What does a penny a day compounded over time look like? Number one, it's time and consistency. Everybody say time and consistency. Trust is built with time. Trust isn't built in a day, it's built over years. Dads, your kids don't need your money, they need your time. Time must be consistent. Have fun with your kids, laugh with them. When the windows are open, men, go out on the backyard and pretend you're a burglar and throw rocks at their window. And let them have them be crying out, "Dad, if that's you, you're scaring us to death." And then have your children yell, "And Mom, is Dad in the house?" And Mom says, "Yeah, he's in the shower." And then crawl up the stairway and wait for all four of your girls to run down the stairs all at once because they're scared to death, and wait for them to scare them to death. Not that that ever happened before. You can go on Facebook and find it. It was cool. Dads, laugh with your kids. Goof off with your kids. You know, we normally don't have moments where we say, "Hey, kids, gather around the table and let's have an adult-child conversation," but we allow life to happen. They go to school and someone says something, and they come home and they begin to tell that story, and we begin to create a chapter on life out of that story. We just let life happen. And we instill those godly principles, time and consistency. Number two, compassion. Everybody say compassion. We see this powerfully demonstrated in the father and the prodigal story. Dads, let your children see you cry. Dads, be ready and willing to ask for forgiveness when you mess up royally. You know, I grew up in a home that I had a phenomenal father, by the way. But I never saw him cry. And he was a man's man. He just really didn't show his affections. We'd come back from camp and he'd say, "Hey, when you are going back to camp, we've had a great time without y'all." And then my mom would come in and she said, "You know, Dad was just saying last night how much he just couldn't wait for y'all to get home. He missed y'all so much." We knew in the tone of my dad when he said he was ready for us to leave, we knew what he meant by that. He just didn't know how to share it. When his dad died, he told Wayne and I, he said, "Would you come sit on the couch with me?" He put Wayne on this side and me on this side. And he said, "My daddy was my best friend." He said, "We would hunt together. We fished together. He was my best friend." He said, "But he never told me he loved me." And he said, "I never told him I loved him." And he said, "Sons, I don't want to repeat that with my kids." And he said, "I love y'all." And he began to weep with us. And I have seen my dad age, and he weeps all the time. The last time he was here, he was back there, and I said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I don't know." And he said, "I just can't help when I'm in great worship. I just start crying." What a beautiful model of fatherhood. Have compassion. Walk it out. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Number three, so important, how you treat your spouse. How you treat your wife is how your son will treat his wife. How you treat your wife is how your daughter will expect to be treated. Live the example in front of them. When I was in Belize, I was talking to three boys that lived in the village, and I asked these three boys, I said, "Tell me a man in your village that you respect and you honor." One of the boys said, "There are none." I'm like, "There are none? What do you mean?" He said, "They all drink, they all smoke their pot, and they all beat their wives." And I said, "That's why it's so important that y'all become the change." You know what this boy said to me? He looked straight in my eye and he said, "Nah, it's just too hard. It's just too hard." And I said, "Do you know what you just said to me when you said it's too hard?" And he kind of started on me. He said, "What?" And I said, "You just told me that you are going to get married, you are going to drink, you are going to smoke your pot, you are going to beat your woman, and you're going to grow up and you're going to have five girls. And you're going to expect those men to beat those girls." And he said, no, not me. I won't let that happen. I said, "Unless you are the change, that is your destiny." Men, teach your children how it is to treat your spouse in front of them. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." My dad used to come home. My dad was a heavy equipment operator in all the refineries in Baytown. And I remember every time he'd come home, he had a black lunch pail, and he would come home and he would put it down and he would grab my mom and say, "Come on, baby." He may pop her on the rear end a couple of times. They're like, "Oh, disgusting, you know?" And we're like, "Come on, get a room somewhere." And he'd come over to me and karate chop me and hit me in the gut, you know, not too hard. And it's like, ah. And we just knew. He was modeling love before us. He treated and he treats my wife. He does treat my wife good. He treats his wife, my mother, golden. I always tell people, if I could be half the daddy my daddy was to me, I'll be a great dad. Model how you treat your spouse before your children, in front of them. Number four, live the Bible in front of them. More than simply read the Bible, it is more important that you live it out in front of them. Let them catch it more than you teach it. Let them see it lived out. One of my favorite scriptures, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. "I wear it around my neck." I can sing it to you in Hebrew if you want. Ask me later about that. But this is what it says: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It's the foundational scripture of Judaism. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Let me also say Jesus quoted these. Verse 7, then it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them as they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." This principle you will model before your children. Live it out when you're at the dinner table, when you're walking by the way. Model it. Number five, be a part a spiritual community. Dads, there is no way to do this on your own. You need a spiritual community. You need people to say, "Hey, you may have your own opinion, but that's not what the word says. I think I told you the story one time where I was the pastor. I was working as a children's pastor. I was probably 22 years old. He had asked me to preach on Sunday morning, and I went to him, and I said, yeah, and he said, do you have your sermon? I'm like, yes, it's found out of Matthew, whatever. I don't remember the scripture. These are my 3 points, and he looked at me, and he said, yeah, that's really great if you want to take that word out of context. He said, that's not what the word's saying. See, if I wouldn't have had him as a mentor in my life, I would have went out and preached that word that was totally off. He had the courage to speak life to me. That's the body of Christ. We all get off. We all have our own opinions. The circumstances that surround us tends to sway us in different areas. We need other believers to challenge us, to cause us to walk it out. It is so important to be a part of a small group. Model this before your children. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. Number 6, last one, show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. A phrase I want to end with. It says, dads, you are the closest visual of our Father God before your children. What kind of image of God are they seeing? It's not to condemn you, but if the Holy Spirit is speaking, allow him to speak. We all have room for improvement. There are days that I lay down in my bed and I think, boy, I wish I could repeat this day. There are days that I am reminded, man, I need to remind my children how much I love them. We all are on a journey. So if this is a message that hits hard, don't let the enemy bring it as a lie. Don't let the enemy twist it and condemn you. Say, today is a new day to change my future and my children's future. Would you stand with me? Compounded fatherhood. A penny a day and doubling it every day for 30 days will get you over $5 million. Effectively investing godly principles into your kids is called compounded fatherhood. A penny may not go far, but compound that. Instill kingdom values into your children consistently and daily. You will form God-loving children who will become God-loving adults. Number 1, take time and be consistent. Number 2, have compassion, grace, and mercy to your children when they fail. Number 3, model before them how to treat your wife. Number 4, live the Bible in front of them. Number 5, be faithful to a church community. And number 6, show them. Whoa. That was good. Thank you. And number 6, show them Jesus. What are leaders begin to make their way up? Maybe you're here and you're hurting because maybe you've had an absentee father. And you want to overcome that pain. God is right here. He is the most amazing father. Maybe you're here and you are a dad and you say, man, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me things that need to change. Maybe you're struggling how to interact with your children. We want to pray with you today. Maybe you're here for a totally different reason. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to make him your Lord, man, we want you to come forward. If you're sick in body and need prayer, man, we want to pray for you. The altars are open. Would you come? Why do we come forward for an altar call? Because we take a step of action. We don't just make a decision in our mind and forget it in 2 seconds. We take a step and say, God, I'm going to act upon what you are speaking. If you need ministry, come. If you're hurting this morning, come. Functioning as a mom and doing both roles and need ministry, would you come? Oh, I think altar calls are so important. Coming and joining with someone and seeking God together is so important. If you need to come, come. I believe there are more that just need to come. You may not need to share the details of the journey. You may just say, man, I just need prayer. Would you come?
Statistics when we first started, and there is a boy crisis. There's actually a book out there called The Boy Crisis. And I believe that part of the work that we're doing here is lifting up men and women of God to do the work, where men, there's some of us that do the job of a man, of a father and a woman. And I remember when my kids were really little and I was just desperate when my husband passed away, because my son was 3 and my daughter was 6. And I said, I can only do my part, Lord. You do your part. And then the Lord brought somebody to me to say, you know what? No, I have given you the Spirit and I am God. And I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And God will equip us to do the job. But there's many of you guys here. My son looks at you guys and learns from you. And there's so much more that there has to be done, work, powerful work. So if you, as we were listening to Pastor Lee wrap up, the Lord reminded me of Malachi again, Malachi 4:4. And the scripture says that the Lord will restore and bring back the heart of the father to the children and the children back to the father. And I'm going to declare this prophetically this morning. If you are even an adult and have not had a father like many of us, the Lord will bring the Father to love you, to embrace you, to do His work in you and through you. But also that there will be men of God filled with the Spirit to come and love onto all of these adults. Because you know what? Some of us are fatherless too. It doesn't have to be the teenagers, the little ones. Us adults have also suffered the loss of a father. And Lord, I just pray that this is the time when there will be restoration, restoration, Lord, restoration, taking things back to the original state that God intended it to be, to bring healing and wholeness into families. And then you know what? It's never too late. Your kids may be teenagers, your kids may be adults. You might have a father that is already an adult, and you can bring that restoration. Lord, we just pray that